Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today we're going to be, this is Donna Sebo, today we are going to be talking about a subject that most of the time we don't like to talk about, and that is grief. It is something that is going to affect all of us at one time or another. It will have its own particular impact on us, dependent what that personal experience will be. And my guest today, Judy Strong, has put together a book called No Time to Grieve, and she calls it a primer that offers you, the reader, pertinent information for solving the problems of the bereaved. And she comes from a very personal space on this. I'd like to welcome Judy Strong. Judy, welcome to the show. Hello, Judy. Don, I seem to have lost Judy.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. We lost Judy on the phone line for just a moment, but she's back on with us. And as I was saying in the beginning, grief is something that all of us will be encountering. And Judy Strong, I want to welcome you to the show, Judy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, you have put together this very comprehensive yet compact publication, No Time to Grieve, A Survivor's Guide to Loss and Healing. You are the winner of the Writer's Notes magazine of their book award.
Mm-hmm.
Judy, this was a very personal book for you. Tell us
Yes. Why.
What happened with you? What happened in your life?
Well, my husband died in 1991. I was 50 years old, and we still had children at home. I had two teenage boys, a daughter in junior college living at home, and I had a daughter already grown and living away from home. And when he died, it was really kind of a surprise. He had been in the hospital for 5.5 weeks, but we really didn't expect that it would result in death. He had gone in for knee surgery. And so when things started to go wrong, we saw things progressively get worse and worse and over a period of 5.5 weeks, and then he died. And so the whole family was really thrown into turmoil. And when somebody dies, you know, the grief and the emotional roller coaster is just awful. And so the whole family was really trying to cope with that. And then as we were dealing with the feelings, I suddenly realized that I really had a lot of paperwork I needed to take care of, because you not only have to deal with the hard, cold facts of this loss, but you have a lot of things that you have to take care of. You need documents, and I really was not prepared.
I know. Let me just share something with you. I have a friend whose wife died on an operating table, and she had been quite ill, was going in for surgery, hopefully to be able to prolong her life. And there was a situation that ended up being quite ugly afterwards because of something that a doctor did in the process of the surgery, which was quite horrific to the family. And this person was just thrown into an absolute, I'll use the term, zoo of variables. And here you had your husband who went into the hospital for a knee surgery, all kinds of things evolved, and then he died. Now, the truth is we all know we're going to die at one time or another. But most of us never really look at the part of the real hard facts of dealing with all those variables. And I know that this particular party, the paperwork was through the ceiling.
Yes.
And I'm sure for you, the thought of dealing with the grief and then having to deal with all this paperwork, it is really tough. What I'd like to do, because you've done such a good job with your book, in putting things together, may I take it incrementally and let's go through it as much as you have put the book together?
Sure.
Let's look at the emotional part first. Some people are very, very numb. They sort of walk like zombies, and then the emotions come in with a wallop, maybe 6 months to a year. Sometimes it can be as long as 5 years later. I mean, you never know. Tell us about the emotional side.
Well, when you first realize that someone either is going to die or they have died, you have such a myriad of emotions going on. Actually, the body and the mind kind of help you out a little bit because you're a little bit numb, and so your cognitive abilities are compromised. You don't think very well, and you're struggling to kind of deal with the facts, but you can be suddenly very, very sad. Or you can be suddenly very angry, you're very bewildered. And so as you go through the day and you're trying to cope, you never quite know what's going to happen to you. It's scary, it's a little bit scary, and you're never prepared, as you say. And so I think that it's really important for people, if they can, to immediately say to themselves, you know, this is really awful, and I'm going to have to acknowledge my feelings, because what people sometimes will do is try to get away from it. They'll try to just dismiss it or say to themselves, you know, it's going to get better pretty soon. But the thing is, you have to go through it, and grief really truly is work. It's very hard work.
Yes, I've experienced it myself on various levels. I don't think you ever are prepared. I think there is an awareness, but it is something that is very unique to each individual. And one comment that can really bug me because of the various situations I've seen and experienced in my life is when people say, it's no big deal, you'll get over it. The thing is that it is a reality that you're in that moment, and every situation has its own patterning. And so I think you need to honor and respect another person and let them know that you're there for support if they need it.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm of the mind that you really never do get over it. You kind of come to terms with it, and you decide as you go along how you're going to handle it for yourself, maybe for your family. But it's not, you know, when you lose a person, that is just profound. And so I don't really think anyone should even work toward getting over it, because that almost dismisses the fact of this person's important presence in your life.
Now, we know that that's going to affect someone, but there's another very practical component that has to be dealt with, and that is the memorial service. And in our society, frequently, those have to be set up like within a week. Sometimes it might be delayed for 2 weeks. But most of the time, this is something that has to be put together really, really quickly. And if an individual doesn't have a will, you've got a particular dilemma. And then if you do have a will, what should people be aware of with this? I mean, I'm wanting to look at a couple of sides. Someone that is going to make a will, and somebody that says, oh, well, I don't need a will. You just do whatever you want. Tell us what people need to be aware of.
Well, you know, it's important for people to sit down together, really, at any age. And express their wishes to the other person so that they know what to do. My husband didn't have a will, and it really caused some problems. If you don't have a will, then the other person is going to feel like they have to put something together and not feel completely comfortable that this is what their loved one would have wanted. And you're going to think, well, is this the music they wanted, or are these the flowers or whatever? And I think that it's important that you talk to one another and say, you know, this would really be meaningful. I mean, I think this is important to our family, or let's pick out some things together so that when you're there remembering me, you'll know that we have talked about this, and these memories are just precious.
Yes, they are. I like the fact that you bring up a very important point, that when someone has a loved one that has died, they really need to have someone to be with them to help them go through the process, because you may go into a funeral home and you can have expenses that go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known individuals that I have spoken with and have counseled with that have said, I don't want to be bothered with, I don't want anybody to put out money for a big funeral. You know, cremate me, and whatever I have in my estate, I want somebody to enjoy it. I've designated this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so important, because you can have funeral expenses that can go into the tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yes, definitely. And it's important that people remember that maybe they want to go a little bit overboard for the funeral, but you may very well need that money later on to live on. And that's going to be important. And as long as something is very, very dear and memorable to the family, I think that's what really matters, and usually that's what the loved one would have wanted.
Absolutely. And you also give information in your book about military veterans. And for those of you that have family members that are veterans, be sure you have all of their documents in a place where you can find it. We had a member of our family that just went through all kinds of loop-de-loops when trying to get things set up with the military relative to this family member's funeral. And so it was just unbelievable, because for some reason the military had lost certain documents and they had to find the documents. It was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are things that go on. And, of course, most of us will say, ooh, I don't want to even talk about this. You know, we've got to live for the moment. I agree. Live in the now. But it's not a bad thing to be aware of, one, where the papers are. Notify someone, if it's an attorney, if you don't have family members, notify somebody where your items can be found. And also, like Judy just said, talk to members of your family. Let them know your wishes, because this is really going to be important. Now, Judy, you brought something very significant to the forefront, and that is finances. After your husband's death, you had to deal with the reality of everyday living.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Social Security and other things, safety deposit boxes, bank accounts. Tell us about this.
Well, I did have to do that, and the truth is, as I said, my husband didn't have a will, and because of that, and because I had two minor children still at home, I had to go to probate court. And I really didn't know too much about our finances. I kind of was familiar. I knew that we had life insurance, and that was good, but I didn't know what company it was with, where the policies were, or what the face value was, so I didn't really know how much I would have. I was working part-time at the time, but that wasn't certainly going to take the place of his income. We did have a 401k, but I really didn't know where any of the papers were. I needed to have birth certificates, I needed our marriage license, and who in the world knows where their marriage license is?
I do.
And so I just started looking through the house. I looked through desk drawers, I looked through the dusty box in the back of the closet, I went to the safe deposit box, and I pulled out everything I could and just started going through it. And since I published the book, I have written a seminar that I give called Getting Your Affairs in Order, where I talk to people, and you're absolutely right. People say, oh, I don't need to do that, or I've got it all taken care of. And I say, you know, I've talked to a lot of widows and a lot of counselors and funeral directors who say nobody really has their ducks in a row, and it's just a nightmare. So it's really important to sit down. Sometimes maybe it only takes a couple of evenings or a couple of Saturdays to just get all these papers together, put them on the dining room table, make sure everyone reads them, and then write down in maybe a little spiral notebook or something all the pertinent information so you know what it is, and then put it someplace where you can find it, because when the awful thing happens, your mind just sometimes forgets everything. It won't allow you, you know, to remember these things. And as you say, it's just terrible. It's just a nightmare.
Let me share with you something that a friend of mine did. We were, during the Thanksgiving holiday, we were visiting with he and his wife. And he had almost died earlier this year. And being newly married, he said after that experience, he determined that he was not going to not have his affairs in order. And he and his wife both, and they're relatively young, they're only in their 50s, so he did something that I thought was phenomenal. He made copies. He scanned papers, military documents, Social Security documents, everything, put them in a special file in his computer, and has instructed his wife, if anything ever happened to him, take the computer, let the house burn. He didn't care. He said, just take that computer, because he said now he's got everything on his hard drive. In his computer, he also has a backup that's on a separate, CD. Mm-hmm. So that if anything is ever needed, every single document, the wills for both of them, everything is there. So he said, if something happens to me, you have everything that you need right at your fingertips.
Oh, so that is wonderful. I wish everyone
that.
Would
yeah,
do
I
that.
I share that because that, I thought, my goodness, how prudent that is. And that would be so easy for someone to do, and you could have someone help you. And that way, and everything he had, he showed me his file. He said, I've got all of it here. It's all in order. And I thought, this is marvelous. He had the information about his children. He had his information about everything that he felt might be pertinent. This man, again, almost died, actually, twice this year.
Hmm.
So he said, I do not want to not have this in order. There's too much. He has assets, all kinds of things. So I said, this is great. His 401Ks, his real estate holdings, everything. It's right there.
That's great. And, you know, that's really a very loving thing to do, because now when something does happen, they will be able to go through it very quickly and take care of business and then devote their time to the grieving process. So part of the problem, part of the reason I wrote the book is because I recognize that while you're scrambling around looking for all these papers and wondering where they might be, it takes the time and energy away that you really need to deal with the grief. And the grief really has to come first.
You bring in a section of your book, and for those of you just tuning in, we're talking about No Time to Grieve. My guest is Judy Strong. This is a survivor's guide to loss and healing. Now, she has lived through this experience, and she has put this information together in such a comprehensive, clearly written, and easy-to-understand format. It is just absolutely wonderful. I think it's a must-read. Because I think we're all going to have to deal with it. If nothing else, if you need to just recognize for yourself what you need to do so that whatever, if you should pass on, then whoever is going to be handling your affairs is not going to be out in deep water feeling like they're drowning and not knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So do whoever is going to survive you a favor, because they're going to have to deal with it. Let's talk about something you brought up. And that is, you had to go through probate because your husband did not have a will.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so time-consuming. But you have a chapter dedicated to probate and malpractice. Let's address the probate.
Okay.
What do people need to know about that?
Well, because I had minor children and there was no will, I had to go to probate court. I did have a lawyer. And they set up the time, and you go there. And it's really relatively simple unless you have some complicated situations, which I didn't have. But even though it's simple. It was a little scary, but I went, and what you really are doing when you have minor children is you're proving to the court that you can support them. And so I had to have all my finances listed. I had to list the face value of all my furniture, any property I owned, any other things like silver or pictures, things like that, so that I could convince the court that I was capable of supporting these children. And so from that standpoint, it's a little scary. And I went there, I had my lawyer there, and I had a friend come along, and you sit there, and the judge was very nice. She just asked me questions, and my lawyer had briefed me. But the thing is, had he had a will, I probably would not have had to do that.
Right.
And so I do recommend that people at least have a will. The first thing I did after my husband died was make a will, and then I later made a trust, because then everything is in one situation. So
now
this
let's
is really
talk
important.
About trust for a minute. Talk about why you set up a trust and what kind of a trust you set up.
Well, I set up a trust in which I have power of attorney, both medical and legal. I have a living will. I have the assets that I own in there. I have a list of all the things that I own. I made my daughter. I have four children, and my second daughter has a head for business, so I made her my executor. And everything, including my checking account and my car and my house, are all in the trust, so that there are papers for that purpose. And so if anything happens to me, all of it is right in that. It's in a three-ring notebook binder. And it's all right there. All she has to do is call the number on there for the place where it was made up. It didn't really cost all that much. Some, I know there's quite a range. But you can do this in a fairly simple way, and then you have it all together so that when something does happen, you aren't scrambling around.
Now, you make a statement in your book that one doesn't save money by having a trust.
That you don't save money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a trust is going to cost you more than a simple will. A simple will you can do for a fairly small amount of money, but then that's just your will. That doesn't include all these other documents. And part of the problem is, let's say that you're in an accident and you have a head bonk and you're unconscious for 3 weeks or so. If you have power of attorney, someone can take care of business for you during that time. If you don't have that, probably a court person would be assigned, but that's not a family member. And it doesn't have a living will included in it, so that in the event that somebody has to make decisions about you, if the living will is in the trust, that's already taken care of. Everyone knows what you have decided, and someone else can just put it in motion. So I think that having a trust is well worth the money that you spend.
All right. Now, you address malpractice in this, and this is something that you had considered because of what had happened with your husband, and as it turned out, there wasn't enough evidence to justify a case. But you mentioned that there's a statute of limitations regarding malpractice, and it takes 1 to 6 years typically to resolve a malpractice case, and that it's thought that 80,000 people die each year from medical malpractice. The claims are filed in only 2% mm-hmm. of the cases. And you say, remember, malpractice lawyers don't charge unless there is a settlement. So this is a particular type of an attorney that you would need if this was something that you resolved you were going to need. You also talk about personal issues. Things that you can go through. You talk about panic attacks sometimes people have, inability to concentrate when they lose a loved one. You mentioned anger earlier, excessive crying. I had a very dear friend who, when her husband passed away, this was her body's way of releasing. And she told me about one day, her husband had been gone for about 2 months, and she said, I'm standing out there. There had to be some repairs done on the house. The handyman comes, and I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden, I just start crying. And he said, oh, my goodness, what can I do? She said, oh, no, just let me cry. My husband died 2 months ago, and I have these spells that hit me because he did a lot of repairs around the home. So there were these emotional buttons that would be triggered. And she said, just ignore me. I'll be through it in just about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And she had learned how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things, you make comments about, you really deal with the very emotional side and how people can move forward and tools that they can have for healing and going back to work. It's quite special. How long did it take you, Judy, to put this together? And was this book a healing process for you?
Well, I think that for me, the whole idea of moving forward.
Hello? Hello? Oh, goodness. Don, I think something happened to... All right, so we had something there where her phone disappeared again. One of the things that Judy said, since she's become a widow, that she's heard a lot of stories. Every time she speaks, every time she goes somewhere, she is made aware of other people's issues and what they've gone through. And she said, as you are going through whatever that grieving time may evolve you into, there's a metamorphosis that occurs because you are no longer the person that you were. You have changed. And in your changing, then your life has changed. You are going into a whole new life experience. Judy, are you still with me? Nope, she's not back yet. So Judy's book, No Time to Grieve, A Survivor's Guide to Loss and Healing, I think is very important. I think it's important from the practical side. I think it's important from the emotional side. I think it's important from the educational side because, again, all of us will have to deal with this at one time or another, in one form or another. And this may be something that will empower you if you know someone that is going through a major situation of grieving of this type, loss of a member of family or a friend, even some special issues that may come up with them. This little book, and it's a power-packed book, No Time to Grieve by Judy Strong, it can enable you to become empowered as an individual. And apparently we're having telephone problems trying to get back to Judy. So let me just share with you this poem that she says, has at the end of her book, which I really like. It's titled, When I Die. When I die, give what's left of me away to children and those that wait to die. And if you need to cry, cry for your brother walking the street beside you. And when you need me, put your arms around anyone and give them what you need to give to me. I want to leave you something, something better than words or sounds. Look for me in the people I've known or loved, and if you cannot give me away, at least let me live in your eyes and not in your mind. You can love me most by letting hands touch bodies and by letting go of children that need to be free. Love doesn't die. People do. So when all that's left of me is love, give me away. The author of that beautiful poem is unknown. Life is for the living, but life sometimes can give us experiences that we don't always know what to do with. This little book enables you to gift yourself and those that you love in a very special way. Donna Sebo here, my guest, Judy Strong, her wonderful book, No Time to Grieve, A Survivor's Guide to Loss and Healing. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. And for those of you that are new listeners, welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. I'm so delighted you're able to join me. And all you need to do when you call in to any of these numbers is to give me your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask a question. After I give you my information, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So here are the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Well, are you getting ready for the holidays? Oh, my goodness. I had to chuckle. There is a friend of mine, when I was talking to her this just the other evening, I said, well, how's it going with the decorating? And I said, oh, forget it. We haven't even had time to breathe. We may get to it pretty soon, but we're not sure when we're going to be able to get it all done. And I just had to laugh because all of us are involved in schedules and doing different things. And I would just like to say, do what works for you. Sometimes things and situations change, and you may not be up to doing full-scale decorating, and maybe you don't want to do anything at all. So whatever works is important for you. But I think it is a wonderful, wonderful time of the year, and something that I want to encourage people to consider. Depending on where you're living, if you're close to a metropolitan area and you've got a good transportation system, if you're like me, one of the things that you absolutely detest is being able to go into a city like Seattle, which is about 30 miles from where I live. And 30 miles is nothing. That's nothing at all. But with our traffic in the Northwest, holy Joseph, it can take you 2.5 to 3 hours to go that 30 miles. So look at some options with transportation and look at maybe taking a bus or maybe carpooling in with somebody. And enjoy your time. If there's another option, then look at what you can do so that you can have a pleasurable shopping experience. And we had some very good friends that said to us that they did not really want to drive, living here in the Northwest, they didn't want to drive into Seattle. So they had a stranger tell them, well, why not take a bus? They said, oh, gee whiz, the buses will take so long to get in. They said, uh-uh. And they proceeded to explain how there was this special arrangement for certain buses to go into the downtown area, and they took advantage of it. And they tried it, and they said, we had a blast. We met all kinds of people, had wonderful conversations. We didn't have the stress of trying to find a parking spot and doing all of that. So keep that in mind during the holidays. If you have options and you want to have a good time, maybe take a couple of friends and just make a day and do your shopping, relax, enjoy, and in a lot of different facilities around a metropolitan area, there may even be lockers that are available for you to put your stuff into so that you don't have to be carrying things around the entire time you're out there shopping and viewing things and looking and seeing and just having fun. It's just, it's a great way to ease up on the stress. You shouldn't have that kind of stress. And I wanted to share also a poem by Rochelle Anderson. This is just delightful. She said, "Treasures of glass and glitter hold memories of Christmases old. There is not one like another, each hand painted with a dash of gold. A little soldier or a dancing girl, not for a ransom, could any be sold." Are you like me? Maybe once a year, and when the holidays are coming close, maybe you're out traveling around during the year, maybe you pick up some things that maybe you want to put on your Christmas tree, and I've done that for years. And our tree, it's so much fun to look at the faces of children when they come in and they see it. Their eyes just get as big as saucers. Because we have ornaments that my husband and I, my goodness, we purchased when we were first married, and that was a tradition that we started. And it's just a lot of fun. It's just a wonderful, wonderful hobby. And more than that, you've got all of this array on your Christmas tree or maybe in different places in your home where people can see all of this wonderful, wonderful variety. So I agree with Rochelle. Those holiday decorations can be very sentimental, very special. And you know what? When you reach a point where you no longer want to do that anymore, just know you can always give them away to somebody. Maybe distribute them to members of family or friends, and they will love them just as much as you do. And if nothing else, maybe to a family that doesn't have anything. Maybe they've gone through big losses of everything. Just like here in the Pacific Northwest, we've had horrific, horrific floods. And there's so many families that are, they just don't have anything anymore. Their houses were gone. And we had a Katrina of our own type here in the state of Washington. So it is something that if you have any items that you no longer desire and you want to make Christmas magical for someone else, do keep that in mind. Contact your local shelters, your local groups, and ask, "I have so much stuff. Is there anything or anyone that you would like to give this to? Where do I deliver it?" And, hey, it's a great thing to do. Remember, lots of the giving that goes on during this time of the year, which we really should do all year long, but there's just something very magical about the holiday season. And it starts with Thanksgiving and goes through until the first part of January. And just remember, there are a lot of people. If you don't want something anymore, there are so many people that would just be delighted to have what you want to offer. And it'll make your Christmas very special. Now, by the way, speaking of doing something and making something special, do you have some old gizmos around the house? Whew! Technology has been changing at such a speed. How in the world do we keep up with it when we want to replace it? What do we do with those old items? Well, I thought I would share with you some information about what you can do with some of your old electronic stuff. I know we've got some items in our garage, and we've learned that there's a school and also some other facility that will take old printers and will take old computers. And they're happy. They've got people that will work on them and will get them up and running for whoever may need it. So this is what you can do. You can, if you want to donate some of your old electronics to make way for new things, you can trade in outdated devices at secondrotation.com, secondrotation.com for cash so that you can, you know, take that money and buy something new. And for every used cell phone recycled at Radio Shack, a dollar goes to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Good thing there. Also, there's different organizations that will take old cell phones and give them, they will redo whatever needs to be redone with them and then give them to women that are in abused environments for emergency services. Also, HP Hewlett Packard accepts all brands of PCs, handhelds, and hardware, and offers often a coupon of up to $50 for use toward the product or purchase at hpshopping.com. hpshopping.com. Also, call your local thrift shop to see if it accepts used devices. And all of that is so valuable. It is amazing. I went into a major store not too long ago, and I was astonished at all the new gadgets and gadgets that were there. I was just amazed, and I had the thought, what do you do with all this stuff? Well, you can recycle it, and many companies are happy to take back your items and give you a bonus. I was just reading about Sony, and this was this morning. We had received some material, and they will take back, if you have Sony devices, they contact the company. They will take it back and give you a coupon towards a new purchase. So we are, as a society, learning how to take a lot of our stuff and put it to use. And so much of the material that is in your computer can be recycled, but it has to go to special facilities. So check it out. You don't have to keep this old stuff. You maybe get some cash for it. So why not turn it over? If you want to keep up with whatever's happening in technology, just go ahead and look at that. Also, for the holidays, you don't have to be too concerned about buying a whole bunch of gift wrap. There's a lot of what they call green gifting. My, how times have changed. Well, apparently there's eco-kind wrapping paper. Now, this is given that title because traditional wrapping papers are loaded with environmentally unfriendly dyes and chemicals. So there's a company called PapoOrganics.com. That's P-A-P-O, Organics.com. And it has vegetable-based ink prints on a blend of hemp and recycled paper. And there's also another company, Importica.com, I-M-P-O-R-T-I-C-A.com, that has very vibrant fabric-like sheets made from naturally shedding tree bark. And then there's classified newspaper sections. You can always use that for wrapping paper. And you can also, if you want to decorate it, use pine cones, holly berries, or poinsettias. You can tie it with 100% biodegradable natural cotton ribbon. And there's a site, kidbean.com. You can find out about that. There's biodegradable, my goodness, of all kinds. We are becoming more and more conscious about what it is we use because what we throw away will go into dumps. And we want to be sure that we're able to not add any more toxicity than necessary. Bags, you name it, there's all kinds of options to look at. So don't hesitate to check out those different things and get creative yourself. There's a lot of things that you can do. I think that that's the wonderful factor about human nature, willingness to be resourceful, our willingness to explore. What can we do differently? How can we make things better? And as we become more consciously attentive to that, we make the changes that are necessary. You know, one of the great places to start a change of attitude is with the kids. They just will stand up and really work with this. And remind us, too, that we need to pay attention. So when you teach your children and or if you have kids in your environment, make them aware of how important this is. It is quite significant, and it really benefits on so many levels. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break. Before we go to break, I do want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about celebrity pets. Lai Ubberud is going to be my guest, and we're going to be talking about pets of the rich and famous, so we're going to have fun with that. And then on Thursday, we're going to have glorious Christmas music that we are going to be playing. And then also on Friday, we're going to be talking with Russell Targ. The End of Suffering is his publication. This is a man who's been involved with the CIA and remote viewing, and this book was very different from what he's previously published. He's been a guest on my show before, so I'm looking forward to having him as a guest again. This is Donna Siebel. Call in if you'd like to chat with me, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. We'll be right back. Don't
enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Or 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And I want to say all you need to do is give me your first name or initial, and after that, then we'll just go ahead. I was talking when I was out walking my Scotty this morning. I was talking with a gentleman that walks his little puffy poodle, whatever it is. His name is Roscoe. He's just adorable. And Roscoe is a mature little puffy poodle type of a character, and he's got such a wonderful personality. And I was talking with this gentleman. We were talking about health care for dogs and this type of thing. And he was saying, you know, lots of times people don't realize that around the parks in different environments, and this gentleman lives right on a major golf course in our area, he said they need to be attentive to fertilizers and chemicals that are put on these large areas of grass. And he said that is something that he has paid particular attention to, especially as his dog has gotten older. And he said these are things that people need to know about. So I thought I would share that with you today because it is very important. And, you know, with the holidays coming up, we need to really be alert to our animals, because if your pets are like my pets, they are family. I mean, they are literally like kids. My husband often says our Scotties are like five-year-old children, and they stay that way throughout their entire life. They're wonderful critters. We love them, but we have to be aware, just like when we have little kids running around, that they like to get into everything. They might put stuff in their mouth that they're not supposed to. And if you're like us, you've got holiday decorations up, so you really need to pay attention. Now, there's a couple of things, and we'll describe it as pet etiquette, or petiquette. Somebody came up with that term, which I thought was rather clever. When you've got a pet and you're going to be going around and visiting people, be sure you always check with friends and or family members that you might be visiting. Ask them if it's okay to bring your animal. And if they say, no, it is not a good idea, don't be offended, because many times there's things that are going on and you just don't want to in any way be imposing upon someone else. So if your pet goes with you everywhere, don't be offended by this and just make arrangements. Maybe you have your animal stay in your vehicle or you leave them at home. Just make sure that you pay attention to this. Now, there's a Charlotte Reed. She's published a book, The Miss Fido Manners, Complete Book of Doc Etiquette. And also, you need to plan ahead. And this is a vet that gave a tip that I really like, because he deals with emergency situations during the holiday season. He said, you need to ask yourself, is my yard, if I have a fenced yard, is the gate locked? am I going any place where people have pets? Are, you know, the pets up to date on their vaccines? You want to be sure that if you are allowing people to bring their pets over, if you're having a party, you need to pay attention to what's around. If you don't want the animals exposed to anything that they could put their teeth on or swat or break or somebody brings their tabby, you want to make sure that you don't have anything around that they can get into. You should take medicine off of nightstands, get cords off the floor, and maybe even put up baby gates to mark off limit areas. And that's something that we have done in our home when we don't want our animals to be in an area where we and other people might be. We have a gate that we put up, and that is very good for the animals because that enables them to feel like they're able to witness or pay attention to things. Other people I know will have rooms that they keep their animals in. They'll close the animals off in that room so that the animals have privacy, but also so that they are not going to be agitated or interfere with the activities that are going on. And this is not a bad idea when you're having a large group of people. Now, it's one thing if your animals are socialized and they can deal with that, but you don't ever want to go through what I went through when we got our puppy a year ago, and he took off outside the front door because somebody opened the door and boom, off he went. That was a lot of fun, I can tell you, chasing him for over an hour, trying to get him back and get him into the house, and especially when it was snow outside, that was not fun. So if you're going to have company, be aware of that. Also, if someone says, sure, bring your pet, go and take the time to prepare for that. You bring your own food, have a lint roller, and be sure you have doggy bags to take care of any messes. Be prepared to take care of your animal when you're visiting with someone else. Also, with the holidays, there are going to be kennel facilities that will be open just in case you're not able to take your animal wherever you're going. Maybe you're traveling out of state. Maybe you don't have a friend that's going to be able to dog sit for you. So a kennel is an option. You need to check out the kennel well in advance. And of course, we're in the holiday season now, and finding space may be a problem. But if you need to do that, get busy with that now. And also, you might want to be sure to remember those people that invite you over and invite your pet over. Be sure you say thank you for them. And with boarding, you know, when you're looking at boarding your animals, you need to check things out. And there's a website called abca.com. You can find facilities through abka.com. And you may want to take your animal over for a visit before you leave them at that boarding kennel. It can really make a difference. And also, if you're going to have sitters with your animals while you are gone, make sure that your animal feels comfortable with them. We had a wonderful lady named Mary who loved animals more than she did people. And so we were just always delighted when she graced our home whenever we needed to have her as a sitter. And it was so much fun because the animals, the dogs, just loved her. And she was so busy, my goodness, we felt fortunate whenever we could get her. So if you find a good dog sitter, ask your friends, ask your vet. Find out about those individuals that it is a delight for them. They really enjoy taking care of animals. And you'll feel comfortable with them being in your home for however you might be gone. Hotels, well, you really need to check those out carefully. If you're going someplace for the holidays, you can go to a website of Let's Go Pets, L-E-T-S, gopets.com. They have a listing for pet-friendly lodgings. And also, there is a WRR710.com. A fellow by the name of Warren Eckstein, he has all kinds of tips regarding taking pets with you and traveling. It's really worth being aware of. But do your own homework. Pets are family, and you want to make sure that they have a pleasant time during the holidays, even if they're not with you. So you need to be aware. Also be alert. Dogs are notorious, and cats too, for getting into food they're not supposed to get into. If you have any food that is out that could be damaging to your animal, like dogs, if you have raisins, candies, different types of sweet foods which can make them deathly ill, you don't want to end up having to take them to an emergency hospital and pay an exorbitant fee to get their stomachs pumped, or even maybe having your animal die. Be attentive to your animals. Be aware of them, and just know that they can have as much fun as you do. This is Donna Siebel. This is the end of the show. We are out of time. We're going to be back tomorrow talking about celebrity pets. And I know you'll enjoy it all. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous, fabulous day. And wherever you go for your holiday activities, your shopping, have fun. Enjoy it. You don't have to spend a whole bunch of money. Look at the beauty, count your blessings, and just be grateful that you live in a country that has so much opportunity to experience the beautiful and the best. Donna Siebel here. We'll be talking tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Prosperity, bound for glory records. Hey, let me introduce myself. My name Prize, babe. You looking kinda cute, hey. Look, you fine, say. Do me a favor, love. Won't you walk my way? Matter of fact, we could disappear to Friday. My money long, pocket so deep, I ain't playing. God bless me, I could buy everything. Don't get it twisted, cause I'm living by the scripture, ma. I'm in the spot, but I ain't getting tipsy, ma. And see this true face, nope, he ain't scared to see it. Daddy living celibate, trying to wait until he married. And yes, it gets difficult when he with shorty. God bless him with a different coat. So he just bought it, he that finds a wife. He find a good thing in the way they fit. I see your fam got some good jeans, but you ain't gotta slow down. I don't mind chasing, just listen and I'll hook you like my rhymes, babe. I met this little chick though not long ago. She had me down around, was like, don't come on. See, I ain't lying, she was fine by her appearance, but the problem came in, cause the life she was living. I met this little chick though not long ago. She had me down around, was like, don't come on. See, I ain't lying, she was fine by her appearance, but the problem came in, cause the life she was living. Baby, come to church with me, like. Baby, come to church with me. Come like. Baby, come to church with me. Come like. Baby, come to church with me. Nah,